Samson, his might. Bartimaeus, his sight. He gave Solomon his wisdom, and Job his wealth. God has given gifts unto men. And every single one who is here today is rich in the gifts of God. You are responsible for what you do with your gifts. I can encourage you and challenge you, but I cannot account for you. I can help you by telling you what I think, what God expects. And I believe that in God's Word, He shows us what we are to do with our gifts. What would happen if the teacher showed you the final exam days before the test? Do you think you'd be interested in looking it over? I think you would. God has shown us the exam. It's in His Word. And you and I have but to look at it to know how to discover and to develop the gift that God has given. It's found in Matthew chapter 25, commonly called the parable of the talents. First of all, let me say that the talent, as you know, is not necessarily a talent. It is a measure of a weight of a valuable substance. And so there are talents of silver and there are talents of gold. So what is the talent in the parable of talents? It would be a good idea not to go through life without finding that out. And I believe that the lesson is very clear that the talent is something more than ability, although that's a part of it. In Matthew 25 and verse 14 it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." We have no right to brag over the things that do not belong to us, the things that God has entrusted to our care. Spiritual gift is not something that belongs to you. A spiritual gift is something that belongs to God. And sometimes we would mistake the ownership of such a gift. And let us remember that they are His goods. Every single one of us needs to understand that life is a stewardship. Every single person needs to discover what that stewardship is and to determine by the grace of God to find it, to use it, and to develop it. Soon after we are born again and born anew, soon after the scales of unbelief fall from our eyes, soon after we develop that spiritual eyesight and vision, God directs us to something that we must do. He points us like an Adam to a garden to keep, or like Nehemiah to some wall, or Zerubbabel to some temple for Noah to build some boats. Every one of us will be directed by that same God to some purpose, some job, and some ministry. Here we see in this parable of talents that these goods belong to God. Verse 15 says, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. And to every man, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Does not mean that he gave ability according to ability. So it's not ability as such. What is a talent if it's not an ability, although ability is part of it? The talent, some received many, some received few, one received one, is an opportunity. And those who are puzzled over how to discover a spiritual gift, how to find it, use it, and develop it, have tripped over countless numbers of opportunities and missed the very thing God has placed in our path all along. To every person who has turned their back on a divine appointed opportunity, I suggest to you that you, if at all possible, need to go back and see if it's still there, if it's from God. For the talent is simply an opportunity that God places before us. And when you faithfully walk through the open door that God places there, eventually there'll be another door and another door and another door. There's no mystery. The talent in Matthew chapter 25 is opportunity. And here we see in this chapter that this master returns, as masters do. And every steward must give an account of their stewardship. Now, what is God going to be looking for? So I know how to develop the gifts that God has given me. What is God going to expect? So that I know how to use what God has entrusted to me. What is God going to look for when he walks through the garden he's given me to keep? What is God going to look for when he examines the boat that he's ordered me to build? It's a good thing to know. How else can I develop that thing that God has given me, a talent, or what I think is an opportunity? Very simple. It's repeated again and again because we're so dense that we have difficulty in seeing it the first time. Verse 21, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Here we see the test of a spiritual gift, how to recognize it, how to use it, how to develop it. Every single one of us that has come to know Jesus Christ longs to one day see him. And after that, to hear him. And most of all, we want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How can we see to it that it just might be so in our lives? There are 6 benchmarks for us to consider this morning. I share them with you for your consideration. In your own personal life, and in the life of your assembly. First is well. That's quality. God looks for quality. Done. That's history. God will look at your history. Thou. That's responsibility. Good. That's the test of integrity. Faithful. That's the test of fidelity. Servant. That's the test of humility. I believe that this is what God looks for when he comes and asks us to give an account of our stewardship. First, we want to hear the Lord say, well done, don't you? So that's the first thing we need to concentrate on in developing the gift. Well done. Everything we do for the Lord should be done well, if we're going to hear well done. That's the test and the standard of quality, if we want to hear the well done. What does that mean, to have something well done? If we teach Sunday school class, if we preach a sermon, if we build a lectern, if we clean a commode, whatever we do for God, we ought to do it well. If we want to hear, well done. And the question God wants to know, I believe with all my heart, is simply this. Did you do your best? And if you did your best, that by God's standard is well done. I knew men in college who were with me who had been given the gift of a great mind and a great brain. And they never had to crack a book, and yet they got straight A's. And they would run into the classroom and quickly glance at the chapter heading just to know that they're in the right place and go in and ace the test every time. Well, I would burn the kids the midnight oil and study and try to memorize and have things stick into my Teflon brain and pass an examination with great labor. I don't believe someone getting straight A's who never studies and labors will ever hear well done. Simply because of this. Although their intellect seems to go off the Richter scale of accountability in this world, they didn't do their best. What would have happened if they had applied themselves? And yet many a man and many a woman goes through this life offering to God the sacrifices of something that's less than their best, expecting to hear one day, well done, and they won't. Whatever we do for God, we need to measure it by one test. Whatever so-called spiritual gift we are looking at, we need to judge it by one test. Did you do your best? That's all the elder needs to ask as that young person attempts to minister, to serve, to work, to build, to clean. Did you do your best? As far as God's concerned, that deserves well done. And when my daughter was going through school, and sometimes those report cards weren't exactly what her dad wanted them to be, my only question was, did you do your best? And if indeed, with honesty, it could be answered, yes, I did my best, then from her father, she got a well done. Do your best. I would say to that elder, did you do your best? Did you visit? Did you pray? Did you stay? Did you counsel? Did you cry? Did you do your best? That's the standard, that's the measuring rod that God will use on every elder. did you do your best? I lived in Iowa for a little while and got to know some of the farmers. There were some foreclosures out there while I was there, and it's a sad thing to see a farmer have to auction off the things that he's accumulated over all of his life. It reminded me of a farmer who had to sell everything and even had to sell his family's cow. I figured one of these big dairies, and they started asking him all kinds of questions, and he was just a simple, humble man who had farmed for so many years as a family farm and didn't have much, and wanted to know what was the annual poundage of milk that old Betsy produced. And he said, I don't really know. Well, what is the sugar content? I don't know. Said, what about butterfat content? Said, I don't know. I don't know the annual poundage, and I don't know the sugar content, I don't know the butterfat content, but I know one thing. Betsy's an honest cow. She'll give you everything she's got. Well, all we have to do is give God everything we've got, and God will say, well done. You might not have that high IQ. You might not have that PhD. But God gave you an opportunity, and he wants to know one thing. Did you do your best for that opportunity? And God will do the rest. Well done. First, God wants to know about the quality. I'm afraid that sometimes in our assemblies we wonder why we're not doing so well, and we look around at the quality and we see a little bit of problem. When you walk up to the place and you have to step over the cracked cement and you open a door that the paint is peeling off and the carpets are faded and torn and shredded and the bathroom commode doesn't flush and the visitor has to call out for a roll of toilet paper and you wonder why God's not blessing. The simple standard to begin with is asking the question, did you do your best? And I'm not talking about opulence, and I'm not talking about excess. I'm talking about, did you do the best with what you have? And I am amazed at how many people have a double standard for their house and God's house. And they wonder why God's not blessing. If it's not good enough for you, what makes you think it's good enough for God? I've got some old junk I need to get rid of. Can you use it down at the chapel? Did you do your best? That's God's standard. That's quality. How to develop a spiritual gift. Do your best. When the world goes into the department store and they want to buy something with their money, they want the best. They're going to put a coat of paint on their house, they want the best. And when they're going to put their children in school, they look for the best. And when they buy a pair of shoes for what money they have, they try to get the best. That's the same standard they hold you to and hold me to. And when that preacher gets down from the pulpit, or the teacher closes the lesson, they need to answer one question and one question only. Did you do your best? God expects it, and the world deserves it. One day, I want to be able to hear my Savior say, you didn't have much. You gave him everything you had. You did your best. Well done. The second task has to do with history, found in the word done. Done. God gives you a gift, say, well, how do I recognize it here? It begins with a fire in your bones. You have been entrusted with some opportunity. And when you're given that opportunity, you do your best, whether it's teaching a lesson or cleaning a commode. You're going to do your best. That's going to be the cleanest commode this side of the Mason-Dixon line. Because you're going to do your best. And it's done. Second standard has to do with history. It has to do with doing it. Life is a stewardship. It's something we do. And God will look at our history. God's put a fire in your bones like Jeremiah to preach the gospel. There is nothing that's going to stop you from doing that. Not an elder, not a group of elders, not anyone or anything. You're going to find a street corner, you're going to find a park, you're going to find a jail, and no one's going to be able to stop you from preaching. Because God's giving an opportunity, and you're going to make the most of it. You're waiting for Billy Graham to step aside so you can preach, let me tell you something. And there are countless people who think that God's given them a gift of preaching. And they sit human in a seat somewhere because they don't have a podium or a pulpit. Are there not enough lost souls in this world? Are there not enough Ethiopian chariots? God's giving the gift. You can exercise that gift. Jesus said you can't put a candle under a bushel. You're going to preach. Done. What are you doing? Well, I think God's given me the gift of preaching, but I'm not doing anything because they don't give me an opportunity to speak. No, I didn't ask you what you want to do. I asked, what are you doing? Done. Bella had such a hard time making up his mind. He told his girl, he said, you know, one of these days I'm going to get right. One of these days I'm aiming to get serious and I'm aiming to settle down and I'm aiming one day to do you right and I'm aiming one day I'm going to get married. She said, would you quit aiming and pull the trigger? There are a lot of people who are always aiming when all you have to do is pull the trigger. Do it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What would happen if God today assigned some assembly the opportunity to build the ark? Oh, brother. The whole world would drown. Do it. Get it done. If you want to hear, well done. Well done, thou. That's responsibility. Will you take the responsibility? When everybody's responsible, nobody's responsible. Make up your mind that if God's given you the gift, you are responsible. If God has shown you something that needs to be done, you're responsible. Get it done. Because it's an opportunity given to you by God. Well done thou. God has something for you to do. Responsibility. Are you a responsible person? Are you able to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Not here am I, send my sister. Send me. You need to make it personal. You need to take God's word personally. Don't give it away. When I open the book or I hear someone begin to preach or teach, I say, Lord, speak, your servant, hear it. I take it personally. I used to be a photographer, worked for some newspapers a little bit, was a combat photographer in Vietnam. And I know something about how newspapers are interested in getting the most interesting story or the latest scandal. A cub reporter ran into the editor and said, there's a house on fire on Main Street. We need to get down there and write a story. And the editor said, that's no big story. And the cub reporter said, you don't understand, sir. It's your house. All of a sudden, it became personal. We sit around and say, it's no big deal. But we need to take God's word personally and have God speak to us and be able to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. We need to say like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, Lord, what will you have me to do? And some who look at assemblies that are perhaps not doing what they'd like to see done need to stop looking around and start looking up and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Amen. Well done, thou. That's responsibility. The fourth test for recognition and development of a spiritual gift is found in the word good. And that speaks of integrity. When God's going to look over our ledger, when God leans over our books, when God looks at our account, he's going to look for integrity. God is the God of all truth. We need to live lives of integrity. Or else we won't hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I know there's none good, no, not one. I know that. That's not the sense in which the word is being used. I know that God is good. That's settled. But he holds me to a standard of excellence in my moral life, in my integrity. And it summed up the simple word, good. Well done, thou good servant. You can call it holiness, call it righteousness, call it godliness. Good. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the Bible says the Lord Jesus went about doing good. Is there a law against that? Somebody says, how can I discover what God wants me to do? How can I find a spiritual gift? Go about doing good. It might be teaching that Sunday school class. It might be standing behind a lectern. It might be sitting next to a bedside in an old age home. Giving somebody some of your time. Going about doing good. God holds us to a standard of excellence. Oh, we need to pray that we walk close to Him who is good. That every thought be brought to obedience of Christ. Casting down every imagination that might cause us to step off that path of integrity. And when we seek to see our assemblies grow, let's make sure that the standard we hold ourselves to is a standard of integrity, not growth at any cost. If we want to hear good servants, well, that's quality. Done, that's history. Thou, that's responsibility. Good, that's integrity. Faithful, that's fidelity. We need to be faithful. We need to be true. We need to be correct. We need to follow God's blueprint and be faithful if we're to hear faithful servants. Are you faithful? And Jesus said the hireling runs when he sees the wolf. Are you faithful? Has God called you to the oversight? Are you faithful? You stick it out until you bleed, until you cry your last tear. Do you stick it out? Why? Because God called you to be faithful. That's the standard that God holds us to. Are you faithful? We have so little time, so the last quality, the last test, the last standard, servant, test of humility. Is there some job that's too low? Ask Jesus as he stoops and girds himself with a towel and washes the disciples, the ungrateful disciples. Is there some job that's too low? Say, I want to do this. And God says, no, you do that. I want to go there. And God says, no, you go here. Are you a servant? People are looking for crowns today. Spiritual gifts are found in crosses. Will you be that man? Will you be that woman that God can use? Dwight L. Moody was walking down the street in Chicago. He walked up to a man and out of the blue accosted him and said, sir, are you saved? The man said, none of your business. He said, it is my business. And the man said, you must be Dwight L. Moody. Make it your business. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving gifts unto men. Thank you for everyone that's here. One has a gift or many gifts. Sometimes disguised in a simple opportunity. Help them to cultivate that opportunity. To see it grow. For the glory of God.